Your Bibles, please, to the book of Exodus and chapter 33, Exodus chapter 33, and then I want you to go to the New Testament, to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Pastor Rick has been doing a series on He Is, and tonight I'm going to continue that series, a sermon entitled He Is Awesome in Glory. So, you think about what He is, and then you just fill in the blank for whatever you need Him to be. He is the Lord of glory. He is the God of glory. He is the King of glory. He is the Father of glory, and He is awesome in glory. He is everything you need God to be. Glory belongs to Him. And that's why we should give Him the glory for everything He does. Now, look at Exodus 33:17. God is talking to Moses. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. Anybody in here saved has found grace in God's sight? Thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. That should be the prayer of every person that's ever been born again. Lord, show us your glory. We're in the last days, and we're looking and expecting a great outpouring of your Spirit. So show us your glory, Lord. Now, turning to John chapter 1 and look at verse 14. John 1 and 14, John said, and the Word was made flesh, talking about Jesus, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I like that. God is full of grace. He said, of His fullness have you received, and grace upon grace. I'm not a Greek student, but I can promise you that means grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. It's a continual modem, and God's grace is sufficient for every need that we have. So tonight, I want to talk about He is awesome in glory. Hallelujah. Father, we love you and praise you. Thank you, Lord, that we have partaken of your glory. Lord, that by grace we've been saved through faith, that not of ourselves, it's a gift from God. So, Lord, we ask you to show us your glory. Speak to us tonight. Empower us, Lord. Give us revelation, Holy Ghost. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. Now, Moses was chosen by God, and he was no stranger to the glory of God. Now, all of us have been chosen, so we should be no stranger to the glory of God. We've seen it poured out here many times, but my heart's cry still is there's more to God. Lord, show us your glory. Lord, show us more of your glory. Now, God had led Israel by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That great pillar of fire by night, that was an illumination of God's glory. And God's glory at night, it lighted that tent city there in the desert. The cloud by day, it protected Israel from their enemies. It also protected them from the desert heat and the sun. You ever been out in the desert? I have. I'll tell you what, it's hot. I mean, it's real hot. And it's dry, too. And the cloud of God's glory that was there over Israel, it was also there to guide them. Now, God is wrapped up in glory. And so what is meant by the glory of God? God is the source of glory. He's the Lord of glory. Glory belongs to Him. He's the Father of glory. He's the King of glory. But the glory of God is all that God has. It's all that God is. It's the miracle working power of God. It's the presence of God. It's the manifestations of God. And it's when God shows up and you realize the glory is here. You may not even see the cloud. They saw the Shekinah in that Old Testament. I've seen the cloud. I've seen the glory before. And many of you have. It's not all the time, but we understand this thing called the glory of God because we see God's miracle working power here. Amen. But Jesus, he is the Lord of glory, and he is awesome in glory. But not only is Jesus the Lord of glory, I want you to look at Psalms 27 and 4 with me. He's the King of glory. Now, Jesus died on the cross. His blood splattered. It hit the ground. It echoed up into the heavens as he cried, "It is finished." And then it echoed down the streets of gold. "It is finished." And then Jesus is coming into the portals of glory in his resurrected body. And look what the angels begin to cry. Psalms 24 and 7. "Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. "Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies of heaven. He is the King of glory. Hallelujah. So glory belongs to God. And his presence, wherever he is, you know, he said, "Where shall you go from my spirit? Where shall you flee from my presence?" So the presence of God, he said, even if you make your head, your home in hell, he said, "My hand shall find you there." But see, his presence is everywhere, but the manifest presence of glory and the glory of God that he wants his church to experience, it is not everywhere. It belongs to us. It belongs to us individually. It belongs to us corporately. And he said, "Forsake not the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another." I'm exhorting you to come to church. "Exhorting one another, and much the more as you see that day approaching." In other words, we're in the last days. Now, I preached it Sunday, and I wasn't just talking to the air. I was talking to the church. And it's a prophetic message, and it's a message, an end-time message to the church. Now, what the church does with it, that's their business. My assignment was to preach it and to pray over it. And my wife can tell you, that boy prayed, and he worked, and he worked, and I came into, after all day long, I had my sermon finished Friday night. But I asked the prayer team here, I said, "Please pray for me." I said, "I got to be able to deliver this thing right." And then I went home, and all day long, I worked on that sermon. I took it apart. Thank God you can, you know, copy and paste. And I saved a copy of it because I tear them all to pieces when I start doing what I was doing that Saturday. I stayed from that morning to right about 10 minutes to 11 o'clock that night. I went in and I prayed into the night. I got up the next morning still working on that before I delivered it. And then I got the prayer team around me before I left that office, making my last journey to this pulpit to pray for me one more time. And I went to Sunday school, and praise God, a lot of what I was going to preach was in the Sunday school lesson. But thank God that God is a king. Jesus is a king, and a king has a kingdom. A king is sovereign, and Jesus is the sovereign King of glory. That means that whatever he says in his kingdom, that goes. I don't have to go listening all the time trying to get a revelation from God. If I want to hear God, I pick up this book. I don't know everything that's going on. He hasn't shared everything with me. But I do know one thing. I know from this book, I can study it. And I know we're in the last days. And I know that God wants to send a great revival. And I know that America's position in the prophetic picture of God, it is that America was birthed by God, came out of the heart of God, the hand of God formed it. People came here wanting to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got people wanting to redefine our values, but I've experienced the glory. I've had a taste of glory. I've had a taste of what the king has on his table. And he said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So my assignment now is to preach Jesus Christ, to warn people about the wrath of God to come, to tell the church to clean up her act, get back in the house of God. We are who God said we are. We have what God said we have. We can do what God said we can do. And hallelujah, we can do all things through Christ. And it's time for the church to arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. There's gross darkness in the world, gross darkness upon the people, but not upon us. Hallelujah. We have experienced the glory. We have been called out of darkness into the marvelous light. Somebody go and shout and praise him. Hallelujah. I could have saved this thing for Sunday morning, but no, it's time to preach Jesus, teach Jesus, live Jesus, and expect Jesus to show up in our midst and show off. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Glory to God. He is awesome in glory. He is sovereign. He has the power to redeem. He has the power to heal. He has the power to deliver. And he's a good God. And he has redeemed us, and he has purchased us with his own precious blood. Oh, what a price he paid for us. You think I'm going to forsake the ascending of myself in the house of God when he went to an old rugged cross, poured out his blood, and redeemed me by the blood, brought me out of darkness into the marvelous light, broke every chain, praise God. Woo! That was holding me. I am free, free, free. I'm free indeed. Jesus broke the chains that bound me. I am free. Life has meaning now for me. I have liberty through the precious blood of Jesus. Go on, praise him. I am living. I am free. Hallelujah. And let me tell you something. God's a whole lot more interested in your future than he is in your past. And God doesn't want you to live in yesterday's smoke and ashes when you can live in the glory of God right now. Hallelujah. I believe the fire's going to fall, but somebody's got to worship him and preach this word. Hallelujah. God has also been glory, and glory belongs to him, just like water belongs to the ocean. Glory belongs to Jesus Christ, just like the water belongs to the ocean. Glory belongs to him, just like snow and ice belong to the Arctic. Hallelujah. He is the sovereign glory of God, King of glory. We belong to him, and he has redeemed us, and he has made us kings and priests unto God. He says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I have a friend. He had stage 4 cancer in his lungs. He had cancer on his right arm. And we've been praying for Brother Larry for quite a while. He sent me a video. He got a good report from the doctor yesterday. There is no cancer in his lung, but he still has, go and praise God, he still has a spot on his arm, but no cancer on his lung. And he sent me a video. I don't know if y'all have seen the soul sister. She's an elderly soul sister, but she's just dancing like that and praising God all over the place, you know. And my little grandchildren were at the house today, and I do this song on my guitar, and they like for me to do it. Well, I'm lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost. And it says, if you think I'm out of order, cause I can't stay in my seat. If you think that is blaspheming, cause there's dancing in my feet. I can hardly hear you talking. I'm not listening very well, cause I'm plugged into the power, and I'm about to have a spell. Now there's 2-year, 3-year-old, 6-year-old, and 8-year-old. Grand Jerry, will you do lost in the presence of the sweet Holy Ghost? And we're in there getting ready to do it. And we have prayed, the 4 of us have had a prayer for Brother Larry. And that video, that soul sister, she's out of the dancing, it comes over my phone. And I looked at it, and we're getting ready to sing this song. And I called my daughter Jessica. I said, come in here and take a video of this. I said, you got to hear God when God speaks. And I took that video. Jessica took the video, and we were days. Kids were dancing all over the place. And then I sent it to Brother Larry. I said, I want to show you how to unlock your miracle, Brother Larry. You unlock it by praise. Hallelujah. And he's a praising. He loves God. But he's in a battle. but he needs God's glory to invade his body. Hallelujah. Anybody else need that? See, the glory of God in the Old Testament was called the Shekinah. The Shekinah, it was a brilliant, glorious light that covered by a cloud the holiest place of God. It was a cloud. The Shekinah, it went into that holiest place. It was the visible representation of the presence of God. That was a visible manifestation of this cloud when the glory filled that Old Testament tabernacle that Solomon had built. The cloud was the robe in which the glory was wrapped. Time and time again, the Shekinah, it appeared unto the people of God, filling that Old Testament temple, covering that ark, and giving assurance of the divine presence of God. Last Sunday, Teresa and I, when the service was over, Sister Clara saw it. I don't know if anyone else saw it. That was an individual that had come to this church. We have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and counseled, and we've called and talked to this individual. And she, when I looked at her, the Shekinah, somebody's shaking your head, yeah, the Shekinah glory, Sister Pearson, Edna Pearson, she saw it. The Shekinah glory was on her face. And she said, I finally come to the end of myself and I realized I couldn't do this thing. And I said, God, please be merciful to me and help me. And she said, the power of God hit her in the top of the head and just flowed all the way through her body. She said, flushed out everything. She said, I'm free. For the first time in years, she's been able to look you in your eye. She'd have to look away. What did that? The glory. The glory of God showed up and God delivered her. Do y'all remember the old church? I saw the glory. It was on a Sunday, about a week before we're going to come here. And I was preaching. I'll never forget that sermon. You can make a difference. I still believe that too. But all of a sudden, I just started feeling bad. So I just landed my plane and went and I sat down. And three nurses came trying to find my pulse. They couldn't find it. Many of you were there. And they couldn't find it because all of a sudden I started leaving my body. And I'm going up, up, up. And I'm looking at everybody. And I had the greatest peace. I wasn't afraid, but I said to myself, I said, Jerry, this is it. You're leaving. But I had great peace about it. And as I was going, I'm looking at all y'all, but I'm going up. And then I saw the brightest light I've ever seen. I saw the glory of God. And when I saw that glory, I stopped going up. And I started coming back. And I came back in my body. I'm looking at everybody in the church. And Teresa said, Jerry, you do know Psalms 91:16, don't you? I said, sure I do. With long life will I satisfy you and show you my glory. Show you, God told me I'm going to show you my glory, but King James said, show you my salvation. But his word to me was glory. Do you know, if you go and look up Psalms 91:16, if you would go home and get a strong concordance and look that word salvation up in the Hebrew, your strong concordance will show you it is Yeshua. It is Jesus. If you can ever understand that word, salvation is so much in it, but it was the glory of God. Brother Charles Selvidge, Brother Blue, his mother was there. Your mother, she's in heaven now, and she was there. And they asked my wife, said, I wonder, nobody else saw it, but they saw the glory cloud. I wonder if Pastor Nelson saw that bright light that was all around him. I said, I didn't just see it. I said, praise God. You know, I beheld the glory. And guess what? I'm probably 8 or 10 years older now than I was then. And I'm stronger now than I was then. My eyes have reversed. I don't understand why God did that. I was content with the contacts, but I'm so glad I don't have to wear them anymore. But if you get into the glory, things happen. And we need the glory. We need for God to show up. Hallelujah. in our churches like he's never shown up before. And he's promised to do that. Many times we think that the glory of God, we think about majesty, splendor, might, and dominion. At other times we might, when we think of the glory, we might think about the miracle working power of God. Think about the love of God. You're talking about glory, that God loves you. He spared nothing to save us. Whatever the manifestation of God's glory, it should provoke a praise in our hearts. Hallelujah. Because God deserves the glory. Now, in that Old Testament tabernacle, when the glory filled the temple and the fire came down and the glory of the Lord was upon the house, the people, they would bow their faces to the ground as they praised God. They would bow to the awesomeness of God's glory. On the day of Pentecost, when the glory of the Lord filled that house, they were all sitting. That was a posture of prayer. The people, they responded with praise, and they were speaking in tongues and speaking of the wonderful works of God. That was not planned by any human program. That did not bring the glory. That outpouring of God's Spirit is what brought us into relationship with Jesus Christ. Had not the Holy Ghost been poured out, the Spirit of truth, we could not have been convicted of our sins. But he came on a mission, and he came to work the work of God, and he has chosen a people. You're chosen, a royal priesthood, peculiar. We're different from others. We've been hewed out of the chief cornerstone, Christ Jesus. We're lively stones. Hallelujah. We ought to have some life. We ought to have the glory flowing like a mighty river in the church. And the glory is in us. And we're going to have to assemble together in these dark days. We're going to have to pray. We're going to have to praise God. We're going to have to preach. We're going to have to believe. We've already fasted 21 days, praise God, asking God to send the glory. We're not slack. And God certainly is not slack concerning his promises. Hallelujah. See, it wasn't human plans and programs. It was the glory of Almighty God that was poured out. And it is that glory that will carry us forward as we continue our journey. Now, when Ezekiel saw the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God, it was a wheel within a wheel. And he fell on his face. When Isaiah saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, he felt undone. When Daniel saw the glory of God in the vision, he was emptied of all of his strength. Do you know sometimes, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, the power of God can be on you so strong that it will empty you of some of your human strength. Sometimes I just get stronger. A lot of people say, I get weak and I get tired as I preach. I said, not me. Praise God, I get stronger and stronger and stronger. I can't explain that. It just causes my bubble to bubble. I got a well of living water inside of me. And when I get to preaching, all of a sudden, there's a river. And when I get my pint and your pint and the church together, all of a sudden we put all those pints of glory together and we got the glory of God's river flowing. Signs and wonders and miracles show up. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, Daniel saw the glory and he was emptied. Now, when John was caught up in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he saw God, the Lord Jesus, in all his glory. This is the man that laid his head over on the chest of Jesus. But when he saw him in the glory, when he saw him in the revelation, he said, I saw him like I had never seen him before. He said his voice was like the sound of thunder, the sound of many waters. Said his eyes were like a flame of fire. Said his feet were like fine brass, as if they burn in a furnace. Hallelujah. And then he said his hair was white like wool, as white as snow. And he said out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. He said, and when I saw him in the revelation, I saw him. That's what we need, church. We need more revelation. We need for God to visit us individually. We need for God to visit us in this church like we have never seen it. And he said, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Old men shall dream dreams. Young men shall see visions. He said, on your handmaidens, I'm going to pour out my spirit. And then he said, on your sons and daughters, they're going to prophesy. John saw him in the revelation. What was his reaction? The Bible says he fell at his feet as one that was dead. And Jesus, being so kind and so gentle, he laid his right hand upon him, said, John, fear not. I am the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. And John, this man that had walked with Jesus on the sandy shores of Galilee, seen him do all those miracles. John saw Jesus like he had never seen him before. And what I'm saying is we need to see Jesus like we have never seen him before. Because when you see Jesus like that in his glory, you saw those great men in the Bible, it's a very humbling experience. It is nothing that would cause you to boast. It's something that humbles you because God has divinely touched you in such a way that you have a revelation that others don't have of God's glory and his presence in your heart and life. He is awesome in glory. Just the sight of his glory makes one aware of their own sin. Brother Philip Pearson helped me with this. When I told him one day, I said, Brother Philip, the closer I get to God, the more imperfections I see in my own life. He said, well, Pastor, it's like a mirror. He said, the closer you get to a mirror, the more wrinkles you see. Isn't that good? And the closer you get to God, the more you will realize I'm undone. I'm not everything I think I am. He's awesome in glory. He loves me, but he's still working on me. I haven't gotten it. Even the great apostle Paul said, I haven't apprehended it all. He said, I can't even tell you everything I saw. He said, but I hadn't got there. He said, I'm in the press for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, my Lord. But the very sight of God's glory, it makes us aware of our sins. Now, I don't live with sin consciousness. I live with son consciousness because of the glory that touched my heart. And I've studied his word, and I see God as a good God. And I know I have the propensity to sin, and I'm certainly not perfect. And I still, you know, striving to be conformed to the image of Christ. But I don't live under condemnation. I live with the revelation of who I am in Christ, because I began to take the word of God and to say, what has God done for me? Now, when you understand Christ in you, the hope of glory, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And you begin to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus, then all of a sudden your life begins to be conformed to the image of Christ. But when we see the glory of God, we are aware of our own sins. Job said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. This is a man that God said, there's none like him. Job didn't understand the narrative. God was bragging on old brother Job. Job didn't have any scriptures to go to. Satan said, oh, you got him hedged in. Said, let me touch him. And you know the narrative. But he didn't. But he saw God and he said, I abhor myself. And he repented in dust and ashes. Isaiah said, I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of an unclean people. These are the great heroes of the Bible. Peter said, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. See, the revelation of God's glory, it produces the fear of the Lord. And the Bible said, that's all right. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He's awesome in glory. He's a wonderful God. But it's a dangerous thing for a sinner to fall in the hands of a living God. The revelation of his glory produces fear. When the glory of the Lord is present, sinners tremble and saints stand in awe. Have you ever seen a sinner tremble? Come running to the altar and his lips just trembling like that, holding on to the back of the pew. Finally, they can't hold on any longer. They got to let go and let God. That's what the church needs to do. Let go and let God show up and show off. And Lord, show us your glory. Hallelujah. Woo! My Lord. See, when the glory of God is present, those that are lukewarm, who discount portions of God's word, who follow their own ways, they are convicted by the glory of God. I can preach my heart out, and I do most of the time. But I can't convict a sinner. I'm just a messenger. I can't heal anybody. I'm just sent. But when the glory flows through me, and the glory flows into you, you know it, because it's God, and God uses people. Hearts are pricked with convictions, and congregations stand in awe and reverence at the real glory of God. Oh, Lord, show us your glory. Seeing God's glory, it will inspire holy living. Let me say that again. Seeing God's glory show up in the church, it will inspire holy living. You'll be like old brother David. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I want to go to the house. David said, God help me so I can get out of this situation. My enemies are all around me. I mean, dear God, everybody has fought battles in their life. He said, I want to get out of this situation and I want to go to the temple. And I'm just like David. I want to get to church. And I want to see God's glory. It inspires holy living throughout the word of God. The word glory and holiness, they're synonymous. They're mentioned together. They're not synonymous, but they're mentioned together. Look at this. Exodus 29:43. God said, and there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified, or shall be made holy. That's what sanctified means. It shall be made holy, how? By my glory. Isn't that awesome? God said, my glory will sanctify you and make you holy and pure and clean. I wash you in the water of my word as I pour out my glory upon you. Look at Psalms 99:3. I love to praise him. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. Just, Father, that's holy. Oh, Lord God Almighty, that is so holy. Holy Ghost. Wonder why they didn't just call him the Ghost or the Spirit? Because God wanted you to know he is holy, holy, holy. The whole earth is full of his glory. And he wants us as his temple in this new covenant to be filled with his glory. Hallelujah. Look at Psalms 99:9. I like this. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill. For the Lord our God is holy. Be ye holy as I am holy. That's his admonition to us. Don't sell yourself short by dabbling in the world. Don't sell yourself short by not reading my word. Don't sell yourself short by not praying and talking to me. I long to talk to you, says the Lord. I long to have fellowship with you. I've come into your heart and your life so we can have dialogue and conversation. That's why God reconciled us through the blood of Jesus. People say God doesn't need you. I believe God does. I believe God loves us and God loves our company so much. I need my grandchildren. I could live without them, But I want those grandchildren to come. I say, come and give Grand Jerry a hug. I tell my wife, I need a hug. I told my daughter today, give me a hug. I'm a hugger. Why? Because I love them all. I'll take a hug from you when this junk passes. Some people hug me anyway. Hallelujah. But we have to maintain social distancing and all of that stuff. Get the glory in this place. God, show us your glory. And that other stuff will go. It will go. It will go. It cannot stay in the presence of a holy God. It is ungodly. It is unclean. It is diabolical. It was sent from the pits of hell. Wherever it came from, whether man made it or whatever that germ came from, it is not from God. My God is holy. My God is awesome in power. My God is awesome in glory. He's the King of glory. He's the Father of glory. He's the Lord of glory. And glory cleanses. Hallelujah. Didn't he cleanse you? Didn't he deliver you? Didn't he sanctify you? Didn't he fill you with the Holy Ghost, the glory of God? Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. My Lord. God is glorified in the holiness of his people. Think about that one. God is glorified in the holiness of his people. When we live for his glory, we will live a life of holiness. Let me say that again. When we live for God's glory, we will live a life of holiness. When the glory of the Lord comes to the church, there will be a return to holiness. And holiness will occupy the pulpit, and holiness will occupy the pew. Real Pentecostal preaching, real Pentecostal worship, is when the preacher, the singers, the pulpit, and the pews, they start flowing together, drawing off of one another. And I preach, and you go, glory. And Pastor Ricky preaches, and you said, hallelujah. And then all of a sudden, somebody else, they start praising God, and the praise pulls the preach out of the preacher. Hallelujah. And the preaching pulls the praise out of the people. Why is that? Because we've been caught up in the glory. Woo! Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. I long for that glory. When Moses saw the glory in the burning bush, he realized that he was standing where? On holy ground. You got it. When Jacob saw angels ascending and descending on that ladder, he realized he was in the presence of God. He said, this is the house of God. I have found the gate to heaven, my Lord. They were ascending and descending, going up and down that ladder, up and down. He said, I have found the door to heaven. I found him. You found him. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful what God has done for us? When the disciples saw Jesus transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, they were made aware of his holiness. So much so that in his second epistle, Peter said, I saw him on the Mount, the Holy Mount. He called it the Holy Mount. He come off of that mountain, and there's a little boy that needed some glory. Demon spirits grabbed him, threw him on the ground. And the father said, I brought my son to your disciples. They could not deliver him. What an indictment. These men had been with Jesus. We've been with Jesus. We need to draw close. Draw me nearer, near, O blessed Lord. Hallelujah. Is that the cry of your heart? I want to see the glory, Lord. Draw me nearer, near, O blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are heights we need to climb. There are souls we need to reach. There are people that need healing. And they need the church because we've been called and empowered to reach this lost world. Seeing God's glory always inspires holy living. I love the New Testament, the four Gospels, because when you go there, the glory of God is always in the face of Jesus. Look at John 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. You want to know how much glory he has? All things were created by him. Without him was not anything created that was created. In him was life. And the light shined into the darkness. And the darkness could not extinguish that light. King James said it could not comprehend it. And then John drops down to verse 14. John 14 and 1, brother. 1:14. I'll get it right in a minute. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And look at this. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We should be full of his grace and full of his truth. The writer of Hebrews says it like this, talking about Jesus. He said, he is the brightness of God's glory and the expressed image of his person. Wow. The Jews thought Moses was so great. God says, no, my son is the brightness of my glory. He is the expressed image of who I am. Hallelujah. See, we are looking through a glass darkly right now. It's not possible for us to understand the fullness of God's glory. But the day will come when we will be with him and we shall see him as he is. Look at 1 John 3 and 2. See, when we see him, we will be satisfied because we'll be in his perfect likeness. Beloved, now we the sons of God, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Can you imagine seeing him like John saw him in the Revelation? You're going to be caught up like that. Eyes, the Ancient of Days, hair, white like wool, as white as snow. Feet like they burn in a furnace. I don't know if we'll see him like that. Could be. That might have just been for John. I don't know, but I know one thing. We'll be like him, and we'll see him as he is. Hallelujah. The time will come when the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Can you imagine that? The knowledge of God, the glory of God will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. Go down to the ocean. Get a picture of it in your mind. The glory is coming. And God wants to pour his glory out upon us. Right now, the glory of God is always in the person of the Holy Ghost. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. The Father's in heaven. The Holy Ghost has been sent here. Look at 2 Corinthians 3 and 12. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. The glory of God is in the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And today, all that God is and all that God has, it is summed up in the operations, the demonstrations, and the manifestations of the Holy Ghost. On the day of Pentecost, those disciples, they met in a little upper room. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. It set upon each of them. That was not one great big fire. God has a fire for every head. It set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The devil thought he had it made. Said, at least Jesus is not on planet Earth anymore. He can't mess up my stuff. But guess what? 120 people look like Jesus, talk like Jesus, act like Jesus, come out of that little upper room filled with the Holy Ghost and the fire and the glory of God. Turn that world upside down. Hallelujah. And down through the ages, generation after generation after generation, that same power has been poured out upon the church. Think of the millions of people that have received the baptism, been empowered and endued with power from on high through the anointing, the operations, the demonstrations, and the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The mystery. I love that mystery that God had hidden for ages. What is that mystery, Paul? Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, God's glory is in his people. Now, I want you to look at John 17:22. I think our people are coming in. I'll stop. Hallelujah. John 17:22. Jesus is praying his high priestly prayer. He's in the garden. He knows he's headed to the cross. And he's praying to the Father. And he says, Father, he's praying. John 17:22, he says, the glory which thou hast given me, I have given unto them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Now, if you read in the Old Testament, God says, my glory I will not share with another. What I want to tell you is you're not another. You are one with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You have God inside of you. And God wants to pour his glory out through the church. Now, I do this. I don't do it as often as I should, but I do it. I ought to do it every time. I don't always say, thank you, God, that was your favor. I ought to do it every time. I try to remember to do it when God's favor shows up and he rewards me with something. Don't you do that? You should do that. God said, my glory I will not share with another. But we can't take the glory is what I'm trying to say. He lets the glory flow through us, to us and through us, so he can touch others with his glory. And then at the end of the day, I try to say this, Father, thank you for the glory. Thank you for what you did. I return the glory to you. I don't want to get high-minded about me. I don't want to get puffed up because he can just let that out of your balloon real quick. But I want to be filled with God's glory and to realize we're vessels of honor, Pastor Ricky. We're sanctified. We're meet for the Master's use. And he has prepared us for every good work. I want to share one last scripture with you. Look at 2 Peter 1:3. I want you to see this. Most people do not realize this. You need to memorize this right here. 2 Peter 1:3. Peter said, according to thy divine power, God's divine power, has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And look at this. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and to virtue. Virtue, holiness, glory, the anointing, all that God is, all that God has. He wants to pour it out through the church. He wants to use me. He wants to use you. He wants us to flow together, to love him, to love one another, to come together in holiness, to come together in unity. Because at the place of unity and people dwelling together in holiness, he talks about the anointing. He's talking about the holiness of that garment that Aaron was wearing. I get it all together, God says. And at the place of unity, I will command my blessings. He's given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has called us, not just into the kingdom, but into the realm of his glory and virtue. I love you. God loves you. Let us stand and praise him. Hallelujah. Pastor Rick.
You deserve the glory and the honor. We lift our hands as we lift your holy name. You deserve the glory
and the honor.
We lift lift our hands in worship. So we lift your holy name, for you are great. You do miracles so great. There's no one else like you.
Jose, come on up here with me, buddy.
You
take that mask off if you want to, and Junior.
Like you.
How old are you now, Jose? How old?
17.
How old are you, Junior?
10.
10 and 17. I want you to look at these two fine young men here. Sister Carolyn Edwards, where are you? Come on up here and stand with these men. Will God pour out his glory through you? Sure he will. Commander Phillips, come on up here and stand with him. Brother Billy, you're a Royal Ranger Commander. Come on up here. Anybody else that's been instrumental in these young men's lives?
This guy finishes his project. He will get the highest Royal Ranger honor, Gold Medal of Achievement. That's how close he is.
Hallelujah. Give him a big hand. But you know he did something even greater than that? He read his Bible through in 2020. Junior read his Bible through in 2019 and again in 2020. Give these boys a great big hand. Hallelujah. God deserves the glory. Look at these people where God poured the glory out through. I hope he poured some glory out of me into your lives. Hallelujah. Woo! I hope he poured some glory out of this church into your lives. Young men, and if Jesus should tarry, hallelujah, getting ready to go out and face the world, 117 right here, one right behind them. God is a good God. Thank you so much. Give them another big hand.
You deserve the glory.
You deserve the glory, God. We're just instruments.
And the honor.
You deserve all the honor. Thank you, God, for using us.
We lift our hands in worship.
Thank you, God.
As we lift your holy name.
So much for allowing us to be a part of somebody's journey. For touching them, Lord, with the glory of God. Thank you, Lord.
We
the glory belongs to you.
In worship.
We return the glory to you, Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There